Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
I'm getting up soon in the morning. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn about eating more peanuts can reduce your risk of death by 21%. That's interesting. From Vanderbilt University. Also, a natural extract from rose hips shows promise for preventing breast cancer, from North Carolina and Technical State University. And turkey tail mushrooms. We talked about them about 6 months ago. They boost immunity in women with breast cancer, and that's according to the National Institutes of Health, and a whole lot more on health and healing. I'm going to have a very unusual guest today. Unusual in the sense that I almost never invite politicians, just a few exceptions, Alan Grayson, Dennis Kucinich, Ron Paul, because they tell you what they feel, like it or not, and more often than not, they're on the right side of history. So it's rare to get someone who is a former top politician. In fact, today, we're going to get a former defense secretary, a secretary of defense, and a former prime minister, Canada's deputy prime minister, to talk about the problems with our global economic cabal, the military-industrial cartel, and our failure to address climate change. And he believes it's creating a perfect storm for a tyrannical world order. Wow. Rarely do you have someone, he's 91 years old. And it's much like the interview that I posted, the last interview of the man who invented more vaccines than anyone else, Maurice Hilleman. He was the top vaccine expert in the world. Hepatitis B vaccine, the influenza vaccine. He invented them, but in his last interview, he admitted that they cause cancer. He didn't talk about efficacy, but he did talk about safety. And he was joking about, we found the SV40 virus and we hid it from the public. They covered it up. So maybe it's at the end of people's career or lives that they figure they got nothing to lose. Why not just tell the truth? But you never hear someone who runs a government telling the truth about that government. Today, we'll see if the Honorable Paul Hellyer is willing to tell us the full truth about how corrupt the system is, because he was a part of it. He is one of the directors of it. Also today, yearning for the past, is human society regressing? Professor John Causey, Global Research. And France moves to make any discussion of conspiracy theories illegal. Can you believe that? Oh, and they get to decide what is a conspiracy theory. So I know one thing that they would not allow to be told, and that is a war crime, because they've engaged in war crimes. Did we forget a country called Algeria and many other countries in Africa? Well, today, from Global Research, the dark and secret dungeons of Iraq. You have not heard this anywhere in the American media at all. You'll have an exclusive look at the horror stories of female prisoners from a woman named Nadhar. Now, of course, this would make the list of conspiracy theories that the French people would not be able to see on their internet. Because the moment you would post a story, no matter how legitimate or fully scholarly noted, the government would interrupt that and say, you've been redirected to a site because what you're about to read is a conspiracy theory and not proven. Talk about full fascism. Are we returning to that time in France's history where they collaborated with the Germans and the fascists? I'll give you that as well. As you see, we have a lot to share. And on tomorrow's program, a letter from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that is a searing indictment of those who say there's no connection between vaccines and their adjuvants like mercury or aluminum and autism. But more importantly, you got to have a little advance notice so you can tell your friends. Tomorrow there'll be a half-hour uninterrupted dialogue by one of the most important individual scientists in the world on the subject of Gardasil. And only using peer-reviewed, independent scientific literature will completely dismantle the argument that Gardasil is either safe or effective. So right now they're trying to make Gardasil mandatory. You have no religious exemption, no ideological exemption. You can't get out of it in state after state after state. But what if the entire scientific basis of Gardasil itself were flawed? It is. She will deconstruct it. Now, what you won't see is she'll be in front of a talking points board. Every single statement she makes, you will see, comes from a peer-reviewed journal. So she's not giving you her opinion. She's giving you the science. So the question is, where's The Nation magazine? Where's Mother Jones? Where's Rachel Maddow and these other mouthpieces for corporate Democrats? Where are they when it comes to doing the research this woman has found and done? And why don't they cite her work? Because if you did, no one would be getting any vaccine, and no one would ever give their child the Gardasil vaccine. So this is going to be an interesting report tomorrow, exclusively on my program. You won't want to miss it. Let's begin. Needless to say, we all want to see women live longer and healthier lives. My newest film and my newest book, which is over 1,000 pages, will be coming out later this year to address many of these issues. Right now, we want to get women who have any problems with their immune system, especially if they have breast cancer. And most women who have breast cancer also have defective immunity for no other reason that they've undergone chemotherapy, which destroys your immune system. This is the latest from Natural News. Quote, turkey tail mushrooms can boost your immune system so significantly it may even shrink breast cancer tumors. A 7-year million-dollar clinical study funded by the National Institutes of Health and jointly connected by the University of Minnesota and Bastyr University showed that tramitase variscolor, or turkey tail mushroom, in its dried form, dramatically boosts immune function for women with stage 1 to 3 breast cancer, possibly shrinking tumors. So, as you remember, if you listen to the program on a regular basis, I talked about the turkey tail mushrooms because we've known for some time that it builds the immune system, and each day, if you take it, it can prevent adverse effects. The findings may be the most important health discovery for mycologists. Mycologist is a person who studies mushrooms. And since the invention of penicillin, which, by the way, is derived from the fungus of Penicillium, and vital information on breast cancer patients, quote, cancer is notorious for its ability to evade immune detection, says the lead researcher. Quote, one theory is that when patients ingest turkey tail mycelium, the immune system's increased populations of natural killer cells and their associated CD8 glycoproteins are better able to discover and bind to receptor sites on the stroma of tumors, thus allowing natural killer cell invasion. If true, then the use of this medicinal mushroom as an adjunct or preventative therapy may help many patients better fight the battle when challenged with tumor-forming cancers, end quote. I would go one step further, and it works this way. Turkey tail mushrooms improve upper respiratory tract infections by preventing them. They help the pulmonary diseases. They eliminate urinary tract infections. They relieve indigestion infections, like ileitis, Crohn's disease, and their general remedy for malaise and lack of energy. So it's just one of the best things you could do. Now, if you knew that something helped, if you have cancer that was natural, non-toxic, it also stands to reason it could help in prevention. So for today, We're going to help the women in this audience or the men who care about the women in their lives to prevent cancer, include that into their programs. From North Carolina and Texas State, rose hips. Now, people normally don't eat rose hip. It's a hard little red, size of maybe a little tiny marble. And it's the fruit of the rose plant. But it significantly reduced the growth and migration of cells from a type of breast cancer known as triple negative. And this particular aggressive form of cancer does not respond to most available treatments. And it's very common in African American and Latino women. Quote, doctors and patients, researchers are looking for alternative treatments for triple negative breast cancer. And people are also looking for ways to prevent cancer. That's according to Patrick Martin, professor at North Carolina Agricultural and Texas State University, the leader study. Quote, how awesome could it be to say, here, take a daily vitamin tablet from the rose plant and possibly help prevent or treat cancer? It is a natural product that we found to be effective with no known side effects, end quote. So that's good. We've known that rose hip, you can buy rose hip in supplement form. I suggest buying it at a high potency, 500 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams. Take it once or twice a day for prevention of breast cancer. The triple negative breast cancer draws its name from the fact that the cancer cells in these tumors lack the three growth factor receptors that are normally targeted during breast cancer treatment. As a result, most existing treatments are simply ineffective against it, and most of these patients die. And in the study, the scientists treated tissue cultures of triple negative breast cancer cells with several concentrations of rose hip extract. And exposure to the highest concentration, 1 milligram, decreased triple negative breast cancer proliferation by 50%. So that's good. And so it's just another thing to help people. And also, Vanderbilt University and Shanghai Cancer Institute did a study together. And what it was is looking at peanuts. Now, I haven't read any other studies. I think this is probably the first study to assess peanuts' health benefits across all races and not just high-income white populations, as has previously been studied. Researchers have found that consumption of peanuts is heart protective. And peanuts were linked to a lower incidence of death stemming from heart disease by as much as 21% reduction in mortality in lower-income Americans of African and European descent. To conduct this study, researchers from Vanderbilt University Medical Center and Shanghai Cancer Institute assessed three large ongoing cohort studies over more than 5 years. They looked at smoking habits, alcohol intake, metabolic conditions, and mass body index, or how fat you were. They examined 70,000 Americans of African and European descent and in the South. It was called the Southern Community Cohort Study. And 130,000 Chinese in the Shanghai Western Women's Health Study. And peanuts, of course, are not a nut. Peanuts are a legume. And legumes are known to be heart healthy. Now, in the nut family, walnuts and almonds are known to help the heart and lower death. The findings were published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Internal Medicine. The article is entitled Prospective Evaluation of the Association of Nut-Peanut Consumption with Total Cause-Specific Mortality, which means death. And it states that the study was conducted to evaluate what heart and related reduced death benefits might exist among peanut eaters. So, want to reduce your chances of dying by a big margin, over 21% from heart conditions, eat peanuts. And finally, the color of lettuce determines the speed of its antioxidant effect. Now, this is the University of Basque in Spain, and they talk about lettuce, which, by the way, is indispensable as a vegetable in the in the Mediterranean diet, it greatly impacts health. Not the iceberg type, not the one we eat in the United States, but the greens and the reds, the purples, all different shades of lettuce, and especially the microgreens. The future of gardening will be microgreens and sprouts. But not all lettuce varieties have the same antioxidant effect. According to the study led by the researcher Dr. Lopez, the Department of Plant Biology and Ecology, and on the Faculty of Science and Technology, the color of the leaves of these vegetables determines the speed at which their components act. So, lettuces with green leaves have antioxidants that react more slowly. Red leaf ones act real fast. And the results of this study have been set out in a paper, Phenolic Composition and Related Antioxidant Properties in Differently Colored Lettuces, a study by Electron Paramagnetic Resonance Kinetics, and published in the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry. So what's just the lay language takeaway from all this? When selecting your greens, select the colored greens. Select the reds, the purples, the real dark greens. They're going to give you more antioxidants, and those antioxidants are going to get into your system faster, and that's going to protect you and will help lessen the problems. And one other thing, this is from the University of North Carolina. Highly processed food dominate the U.S. grocery purchases. Quote, a nationwide analysis of U.S. grocery purchases reveals that highly processed foods make up more than 60% of the calories in food we buy. And these items tend to have more fat, sugar, and salt than less processed foods. Quote, many Americans have strongly held opinions and beliefs about processed foods. This is the professor who led this study. Some consider processed foods to be tasty, convenient, and affordable choices, while others contend that the combination of sugar, fat, salt, and flavoring in these foods promotes overeating and contributes to obesity. But until now, we didn't really have the evidence needed to settle this debate. No prior studies have examined whether highly processed foods collectively have a worse nutritional profile than minimally processed food. Using nutrition information and ingredient lists, specific for barcoded food and beverage products. So they took a 12-year look at 157,000 households and found that, wow, people were eating all these sodas, cookies, chips, white bread, candies, and prepared meals, and loaded with chemicals and processing. And unhealthy? Yes. Extremely unhealthy? Yes. One of the other thing is unhealthy is high-fat diets. They alter your behavior. They produce signs of brain inflammation. From Louisiana State University, published in the peer-reviewed journal Biological Psychiatry, quote, high-fat diets, that's your average American, that's your pizzas, that's all of the food you see advertised on television when it comes to, oh, we give you all this in the morning, yeah, and look what you're giving. There's not a single healthy thing anyone that I've seen is giving anyone. It's all garbage. But that is known to increase the risk of medical problems, including heart disease and stroke. And but what they left out is that it also increases the risk of, quote, depression and other psychiatric disorders because of the fat. So what we've been doing all along in all of the 40 different health studies with over 30,000 people is having an anti-inflammatory diet. Turn off the inflammation. Get rid of all the processing, and that works. They're now confirming that at Louisiana State University in that important article. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest in health and nutrition. Now, a couple things that concern me. And John Causey, in the 1970s, I had a staunch conservative colleague, political science professor, who was the only professor I ever met who openly used his classroom as a bully pulpit for his political views. Now, once in a seminar, he and I participated in, I asked him to tell the audience what conservatives conserve, since they obviously are not conservationists. He was caught off guard by the question. but eventually stated two platitudes. Think about this. Our values and our way of life. Fair enough. I tried to show him that both were meaningless expressions. To be meaningful, a pronoun, our, needs a specific antecedent. Without one, it could refer to any group, the wise or the stupid, the good or the bad, the ugly or the beautiful. Likewise, the phrase way of life and the words value also must have specific content to be meaningful. Some people value fairness and honesty, others cheating and lying. Some ways of life involve robbery and assaults of others, serving people to others. Sentences that lack specific content are rarely meaningful, but I doubt that I convince my colleague. Someone who doesn't want this mind changed is difficult to convince. So have some fun and ask yourself, or ask your favorite conservative, what conservatives conserve, and judge their reply. Does it make any sense? Is the question, yet, the word conservative has always had a specific and precise meaning. It was coined by a man named René de Chateaubriand in 1818. He used the word as the title of a magazine whose object was to restore the Bourbon monarchy by undoing the policies instituted during the French Revolution. He and others sought to return France to the time of the Ancien Régime, meaning the old order. Now, since that time, conservatives have tried to preserve the status quo, or better still, to return to the way things were, at some time in the past. Now, in different times and at different places, of course, there were different old orders. So there's no single group of ideas that are conservative. Conservatives from different parts of the world often disagree among themselves. But the unifying attitude is always a yearning for the past. In Europe in the 19th century, the yearning was for a return to the time before the French Revolution, before 1789. In America, some conservatives yearn for return to the 1920s, others the 1850s, others to the 1600s. In Germany, some still yearn for the return to the 1930s. In Israel, some yearn for the return before the Christian era. In the Arab world, some yearn for the return before the death of Muhammad. These yearnings are deeply felt. So the question is human society regressing? Just look at the evidence. In America, the rights of wage earners to organize and collectively bargain has been largely eliminated. The Supreme Court has torn the heart out of the Voting Rights Act, and governors throughout the nation have begun to limit the right to vote of many citizens. The elimination of regulations used to promote the fairness of business is constantly sought, and racism has become rife. In Europe, anti-Semitism is again becoming common. Israel, whose founders were staunchly progressive socialist, has now become a banal reactionary state. The voices of reaction are loud and heard everywhere, while the voices of progress are hardly heard at all. Active progressive movements exist nowhere. The voices of progress have fallen silent. Conservatives everywhere are measuring progress by walking backwards. Conflict within and between societies was once manifested as conflict between reactionaries and progressives. But today, things are different. Reactionaries and progressives engage in mere skirmishes, while the real conflict is taking place between two large conservative societies, the Western and the Arabian. Skirmishes can often be resolved by compromise, but conflict between two diametrically opposed cultures cannot. What can either side give up that will mollify the other? Their forms of government? It's not going to happen. Their economic practices? That won't happen. Their cultural values? Ditto. I suspect not. America promises to degrade and destroy ISIL. There is no space for compromise. But Islamic conservatism is not comprised of a group of individuals. It does not consist of an organization. It is an ideology. It cannot be shot with a gun. It cannot be stabbed with a knife. It cannot be poisoned. It cannot be blown to bits with a missile. As any American should know, such an ideology of racism has not been annihilated by numerous generations. The ideology that holds ISIL, ISIS, or ICE together cannot be destroyed either. The killing of people who hold that ideology will have no effect whatsoever on its existence. It has already literally become a hydra. Each lopped off head grows two more. On September 11, 2001, the United States set out to punish those responsible for crashing airliners in the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, even though the perpetrators died in the crashes. America would extract its pound of flesh along with millions of gallons of blood. Now, though ostensibly done to protect Americans, some of the flesh and blood extracted wasn't continues to be American. But no one can convincingly argue that Americans are safer today than they were on September 10th. Butchering the flesh and spilling the blood has achieved nothing. Now the American government wants more. The ideologues want more. The raving neocons want more. The smirking, behind-the-scenes master manipulators of the military and defense and intelligence complex want a lot more. But the degree of safety Americans enjoy is inversely related to the number of jihadists killed. The more killed, the less safe Americans are. There are 1.7 billion Muslims in the world. How many Americans will die trying to kill even 1% of them? Even if 1% is killed, how many others will become jihadists? How many years of killing will it take? The human race can very easily annihilate itself in this mad attempt to degrade and destroy. That human society is regressing is obvious if the proliferation of cyber war being developed is discounted. Cyber trinkets will not solve human problems. So the question to be answered is not a human society in regression. Yes, how far back do we want to go? To the 1920s, the 18th century, the Middle Ages, the 7th century, perhaps to the Stone Age? What would be the denouement of the human race? Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Noll, and about 5 minutes, we're going to go to my guest, a 91-year-old former prime minister and defense secretary, the man who headed the whole defense of Canada, and he's going to tell us the truth. Wow. That you just never hear from a former leader of a country. It'll be interesting to see what he says. I want to tell you, last week on Friday, I announced two new products, men's stuff and women's stuff. I'm sorry, but we did a limited run and we're out. So we're rushing to get some more back in. Should have it back in this week, and I'll let you know when we get it in. But I have a brand new product. It took me a year to get this. We've been out of this for a year. I wanted to make a better toothpaste. Now, many people thought that my Clean Teeth toothpaste was the best, but I wanted something more. So here's what I've done. I have a brand new formula. It is twice the size of the old formula and half the price. How's that? Here's what it is. It helps fight gum disease, bacterial buildup, and bad breath with regular brushing. It is fluoride-free, no sugar, no sugar, no artificial flavors. It has natural whitening power. I took a long time testing this. My number one ingredient, clove oil, then tree oil, then wintergreen oil, then myrrh extract, and lavender extract, and marigold, pure dew, and basil extract, nutmeg extract, guar, calcium carbonate, that's your baking soda, menthol, and then natural water, natural glycerin, which is a vegetable base, and fresh mint essence. That's it. Nothing else. Big tube. Big tube. And delicious. And you talk about good breath. Great for your gums. Great for your teeth. You bet. So it's back. But better, bigger, and almost half the price. It's only, I believe, seven something. I priced it even lower than Tom's of Maine. So for people who want what is considered my newest creation, the finest toothpaste anywhere in the world, check their ingredients, check their size, check their pricing, then check mine. Clean teeth. Clean teeth back today. So you can call 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422, and you can get it there. If that line should be busy, you can call Neil at the health food store, where he's at the vitamin closet, and he is at 212-874-4000, 212-874-4000. And Bill Thompson, who takes calls on also 1-800-240-1494, 1-800-240-1494. So you got three numbers to call, 646-926-5422, and that's Diane, or the Vitamin Closet with Neil, 212-874-4000, or Bill at 800-240-1494. It took a long time. When I take a product off the market to make it better, it sometimes takes 6 months, sometimes a year. Sometimes, like Cocoa Magic Bars, took 2 years. We got Cocoa Magic Bars back, by the way. Better than ever. So for the best toothpaste I could possibly create, and it's going to be around for a while, you now have it. And I increase the size. It's a big tube. And I decrease the price down to, I forget what it is, somewhere it's either, I think it's around $7.95 for a big tube. Okay, so give a call. That's back. It's called Clean Teeth. That's what it's called, Clean Teeth. Then let's go over to Toronto, Ontario. We have the Honorable Paul Hellyer. Nice to have you with us today.
It's a pleasure.
I told the audience your background, that you were a former Canadian Liberal Party politician. You held the position of Minister of National Defense, the Canadian equivalent of our Secretary of Defense.
Correct.
You also had a career, you started your career in 1949, and you were also in 1969 was designated as Canada's Deputy Prime Minister, and you've been the longest serving member of the Privy Council, just had a Prince Philip, and later you sat in the Canadian Parliament as an independent and formed the Canadian Action Party in the mid-1990s, seeking monetary reform and opposing Canada's rapid globalization policies.
Right.
And you're also the author of a new book, congratulations, called The Money Mafia, A World in Crisis. The website is Paul and Hellyer, H-E-L-L-Y-E-R, web.com. In your critique of the current dire impasse of nations and the world at large, you identify three primary threads that converge to create what we might call a perfect storm for humanity. That is, the control of the global economy by a relatively small group of corporations and individuals who hold extraordinary powers over politics and international banks and institutions. Second, the threats of climate change and global warming and the financial and political manipulations of this crisis to further this cabal's power and influence. And thirdly, the military, industrial, and spy complex, which in the United States has entered the realm of enormous expansion. However, I'd like to begin with the relationship between the global elites and bankers' control over our national policies and the suppression of technologies that may be an antidote to rapid climate change and global warming. And almost weekly, a new environmental report or study is released that is making our future more grim. And we know that technologies exist that would make energy free, and yet there is neither a unified consensus nor the will to do anything to offset the catastrophes ahead. So I'd like you to begin by drawing the connection between the financial dictatorship in our midst and the rationale for ignoring climate change. Is it intentional? The forum is yours.
I think it is, yes. It's you'd have to get inside their minds to know why, but I think money's got a lot to do with it, and control and all of that sort of thing. But it was interesting. I read some figures yesterday, I think it was in the newspaper, that 80 individuals now own half the wealth in the whole world. Imagine?
Wow.
80 people. It used to be 88, I think, and it's dropped in 1 year from 88 to 80. And so we've had this tremendous concentration of power and wealth going on for a long, long time. And much of it, of course, is due to the, well, most of it is due to the banking system, which is nothing but a Ponzi scheme. And I describe in my book how, unlike the Sicilian mafia, which is being investigated in Montreal at the present time for taking, I think it's 2.5% off the top of all the contracts, that the cartel, the banking cartel, takes 95% off the top. So it's a tremendous money-making machine. They only have to invest $5 million in order to create $100 million in loans, which is just it's bank deposits. That's all it is. And then people have to pay back that $100 million in what I call blood, sweat, and tears money, and plus interest. So it's just... It is an it's grand larceny almost beyond description. And this has enabled them to accumulate these huge fortunes, some of them, I'm told, you know, in the trillions of dollars. And so they have tremendous power, and they're right at the apex of what I call a cabal in the book. And then next to them is the oil cartel, and then the large supranational corporations, and then some intelligence agencies, mostly American, not totally, but the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA, 4-3, watching everyone that they want to in the whole world and keep track of us, what we're doing, what we're saying, and then a huge slice of the American military. And this is what I call a cabal, and they have somewhere control over the secret patents for exotic energy. And Dr. Michael Wolff, who worked in what was called, still is called, Area 51 and then S4 in Nevada, said years ago that the U.S., and presumably in cooperation with some extraterrestrials, had developed both zero-point energy and cold fusion. So this group controls the secret patents to that material, and they could make it public any time and save the world, really, from what I would call destruction, because it's happening so fast. The temperatures are going up. 10 years ago, when I wrote a book called Light at the End of the Tunnel, A Survival Plan for the Human Species, I said we had about 10 years to stop it and to do something about it. Now this latest book, I'm saying 7 years, and I know it could be done the same way we won World War II. That was, we converted all of the car plants and refrigerator plants and washing machine plants into making armaments, and we won the war. Well, now we have to do just the reverse. First of all, we've got to change the whole paradigm in the world after 6,000 years of seeking to build empires and kill each other. Time has come when we've got to stop, because now the weapons that have been developed, some with the help of the ETs or at least with their technology, are so fierce that war has to end. We just have to get out of this war-making business, period. And what we can do is transfer the power and money that's been put into war-making into building the small boxes that can provide all the energy you need for your car or your truck or your tractor or your boat or your house. And in my opinion, we could do it in 7 years, and that's what I talk about. in the book. So it's the same group that controls the United States, that's really running the United States, because they've taken over from the Congress and the President, and they've been in charge for the last, 50 or 60 years. It's that same group that is controlling the technology and keeping it out of the public domain, so that, I guess, amongst other things, they can cash in the huge, the trillions of dollars in oil properties that they own around the world, and also keep people more dependent on them, because the people are dependent on the supply of oil and the people who manufacture electricity and so on, instead of providing the independence that would come if we all had the zero-point energy in our basements or our cars or wherever else it should be. So they're a powerful outfit, and what they have in mind for the United States and the world is very frightening. That's the reason that I wrote the book.
Okay, now I have some very specific questions I'd like you to zoom in on. And that is, one is climate change and the geoengineering technologies playing a role in climate change. And aside from the government's HAARP program, even Monsanto bought a geoengineering company, and Bill Gates is a huge supporter of technologies to alter the weather. What is the motive behind pursuing these technologies, which do nothing to lessen fossil fuel reliance and is already showing its adverse impacts on the health of people and the environment due to the chemical fallout?
It's power and control. And these are being used as weapons. You can use them as weapons. If you have an enemy somewhere, you can just try and change their climate and give them a drought, or flood them out as you choose. And so it's just another in the diabolical range of weapons which have been developed in the last few years. And they're tinkering. We don't know. Even these storms we're getting now, and the crazy weather patterns, and the big snowstorms, and then the floods that come later, and the huge rainstorms, more rain in a few hours sometimes than normally comes in a whole month. How much of this is a result of the tinkering? I don't think any of us know, because none of this stuff is in public. None of it is published in a way that we could comprehend just exactly what's going on.
Okay.
It's certain that there's something going on.
Well, that we know. Most people, if I said, name me the most powerful bank or banking institution in the world, they'd say the Federal Reserve, they'd say the European Central Bank, and I would say it's the International Bank of Settlements in the role.
Bank of the BIS. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, well, it in a way, it's sort of the brain. Or I wouldn't say it's the brain; it's the machine through which the Fed and the big private banks work, and they really control the BIS. The BIS, however, with its very shady past, really is technically in control, because they set the rules. I just was talking about a ratio of 20-1 in banking. Well, this ratio was set by the Bank for International Settlements. It wasn't set by the U.S. Congress. It wasn't set by the Canadian Parliament. It wasn't set by the British government. It was set by the Bank for International Settlements. And then they have so much power and influence, and they have infiltrated the central banks of just about every country in the world, that they can use that power for the benefit of the banking cartel, of the private banks. And it's a very, very powerful institution. I recommend in my book that it be wound up and replaced by a legitimate Bank for International Settlements that is not under the control of the banking cartel. But there's some. I have a whole list of actions in the book that really have to be taken. And I personally think that the Fed has got to go. I don't think there's going to be any kind of justice in the world as long as the Fed can play the role of primary importance that it's been playing for the last 101 years. I think it was one of the biggest mistakes that any Congress has ever made, and why it has been allowed to persist for over a century, I really don't know. And I think the time has long since passed when it's got to go. The United States has to have a proper bank of the United States as a central bank, as we have, and then have it do the things that have to be done to regulate the banks within the United States. And until this is done, I don't think we're going to have the kind of justice in the world that we would all like to see, and a little bit of moving in the other direction between concentrating all of power and wealth in the hands of a few elite, rich and powerful people, and give some back to the people, give ordinary people a little bit of a break, and perhaps reinstate democracy of, by, and for the people, at least to a certain extent, which it hasn't been for quite a long while now.
I have never been in a position, nor has the average person, to be able on a public forum to ask a Secretary of Defense of a major nation of the world, Canada, a simple question. And I know that you're a completely honest person, so you'll tell us what you know. In the United States, for more than 50 years, our Defense Department, Secretaries of Defense, CIA, and the White House have all denied that any UFOs were ever legitimate. They have simply said they're all weather balloons or, you know, optical illusions or something. As Secretary of Defense and former Prime Minister of Canada, you're in a position to know, because everything would have come through your office of sightings from military personnel, from civilian aircraft. Do you have any proof from your position in Canada that when you were in public office and you were the most powerful person in the defense establishment in Canada, of the legitimacy or not of UFOs?
The answer to that is no. I had no inside information at the time because the people who were in the loop are very reluctant to share the information with politicians, because politicians sometimes talk too much. Sometimes they even tell the truth, and that can get them in trouble. It is widely suspected that at least one president of the United States was going to tell the truth, and there were some people in the cabal that didn't think that was a very good idea. So the answer to the question is no, but I now know that it is, they are true, they do exist. 10 years ago, I went public for the first time and said that UFOs are as real as the airplanes flying over your head. And when I said that, I was absolutely certain that it was the truth. And you can't be more certain than certain, but it's been confirmed for me in dozens of ways since. And it goes back to the two crashes at Roswell, where one of the crash vehicles was recovered, and as you undoubtedly know, there was a press release put out by the commanding officer of the Army Air Corps station there, saying that a saucer had been recovered. And then later in the day, Brigadier General Roger Ramey, his boss, put out another press release saying no, that was a mistake, that it was in fact a weather balloon. And the first was the truth, and the second was a lie. And that lie is the foundation of 68 years of telling lies about this subject. Lies, misinformation, disinformation, and it's still going on today. It is still the official policy of the United States, 68 years after that crash, is still that this is just a smoke and mirrors game.
Okay, a short answer on this. I'm assuming because of your position politically as a former prime minister and Department of Defense head, that you've been able to interview people inside the establishment's quarters of science or intelligence to give you some of your input that they exist. Is that correct or not?
Absolutely, yes. I have good sources. And the United States, in the intervening 68 years, has been back engineering this technology, the anti-gravity and gravity technology of the flying saucers. And before he died, the late Ben Rich, who was head of the Skunk Works, the Lockheed Skunk Works, told his buddies from his class that, quote, "We now have the technology to take E.T. home." Now, my friends think that was the truth, that the United States now does have ships that will travel from here to other planets and perhaps even to other star systems. This is the kind of thing that we're looking for verification, and the reason we're demanding full disclosure is because allegedly the American people have spent trillions of dollars on this back engineering and developing both the spaceships and diabolical weapons that can be used that are even worse than the ones that we used in World War II. And the American people are unaware of it. I was one of the witnesses at the Citizens Disclosure meeting in Washington a year ago. It'll be 2 years ago, this May. Steve Bassett got six former congressmen, one of them being a former senator, and brought in 40 people to give evidence from firsthand or very reliable secondhand information. And none of those six people had a clue that they had been voting money for UFOs. They didn't even know that UFOs existed. And it was really as a result of that, this total naivety on the part of the public, which has been deliberately generated by not the government, but the shadow government, which is really running the United States. But this total naivety was the reason that I decided to write to the Money Mafia, A World in Crisis, was in a hope, and I hope it's not a vain hope, to get enough Americans involved and determined to try and take back their country from the cabal that has been in charge of it, to recapture the United States.
Recently, just last week, I read a report that showed that this came out based upon documents released under Freedom of Information Act request, that members of the Canadian military intelligence community knew in advance the likely outcome of the conflict that was sponsored by America and Canada and France and England and Italy through NATO in Libya. They knew that the country would dissolve into absolute chaos. That's exactly what happened. And no one takes credit for the mistakes they made, but some agenda was noted, and now it's a massive breeding ground of corruption and conflict and terrorism. Before it was not. And yet your government knew in advance and went along with it in any case. Does that surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me at all, because we're almost a colony of the United States, and we go along to a far greater extent than some of us would like to see. But it's pretty hard to say no to your neighbors when they ask you to help and to do something. And we have a prime minister who believes that what the U.S. is doing is good, and that we should be in support of it. And we're in a very bad situation, because the cabal believes in perpetual war. This is the old military-industrial complex that General Eisenhower warned us about. And he was really talking about the fact that the ET file had fallen into the wrong hands, into hands that he didn't trust. And I think you probably know that they wouldn't tell him what was going on, and he had to threaten send in the First Army before they'd even let him send in three people into Area 51 and S4 to take a look and see what was going on. And no president since, I don't think, has ever been actually there to see what was going on. So it's a situation where the cabal is totally in charge, and the people have been hoodwinked and are still being hoodwinked. Uh, I've seen a couple of huge articles and papers recently that were just pure disinformation, about NASA getting together with some high-level people to prepare them to talk about what would happen if ETs came to Earth, when NASA probably more than anybody else knows exactly what's going on. And they were just creating a perception that this was something to happen in the future in order to mislead the people.
Well, we have both of us, the United States and Canada's government, has no shortages of disinformation programs. I thank you for coming on and sharing this. One final quick comment from you. I'm concerned that we have private institutions, think tanks, foundations that no longer have to hide their biases. Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute. There are probably 400 of these, and they all seem to have the agenda of dictating domestic and foreign policy and controlling our perception of our own reality. And yet rarely is anyone ever questioned, who are you doing this for? Why are you doing this? You weren't
absolutely
elected to do this.
And one of the problems, of course, is that is the press. And when the Fed was formed 101 years ago, Morgan Bank bought control of the 25 most best or most influential newspapers in the United States. And the same situation arises today, where the main major outlets in the Western world are all controlled by members of the cabal. And so they have their own screen. And if you go with the information, you say, what really happened on 9/11? They're going to go along with the official version and not to send out a reporter and to spend 2 or 3 weeks to show that it was incorrect. And they're not going to go and find out that maybe the U.S. has flying saucers flying around that are so much like some of the visitors that you can't tell them apart unless you're an expert. They just don't do this because they're not allowed to do it. And I think this is what David Rockefeller was talking about when he was talking about the progress that his group had made in the last half century with the participant. And he said it wouldn't have been possible without the cooperation of the New York Times and the Washington Post and Time Magazine and some other periodicals who were allowed to send people to their meetings.
Well, I appreciate you coming out and telling us this. After all, it's rare that we have someone who was in two of the highest positions in government and therefore saw how it all worked and are sharing your insights with us. And we appreciate it. All the best to you on your new book, The Money Mafia.
Well, I just hope people will take interest and try and recapture America for Americans before it's too late. Not only for your own benefit, but for ours as well.
I agree. You mentioned the media. We have 1,500 newspapers, 1,100 magazines, 9,000 radio stations, 1,500 television stations, 2,400 publishers, all owned by 6 corporations run by 272 executives. That's 90% control of what 277 million Americans see, hear, and read every day. So, yes, we're fully aware.
You have just put your finger on a problem.
Yep, and that's why we had 26 million people visit us in 7 days on this network. So,
well, more power to you.
We are a voice for that other group of people. Thank you very much, the Honorable.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Paul Hellyer, a former Prime Minister, former Defense Secretary of Canada, 91 years of age, wanting to talk about the cabal, the military-industrial cartels, and the failure to have a media that's honest enough to inform the public of what's happening. I'm Gary Nall. That's all the time we have, and I want to thank you for sharing your insights, the guest, and for all of you for listening. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Now, real quick, I believe we have Luann Panessi there. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I just wanted to give you a quick update for our registration for your upcoming retreat. We are filling up quickly. I do have a couple of slots open. It's going to be April 19th through the 25th. I can accommodate people who want to come for the full Monty, the full retreat experience, and I also have some slots open for people that want to do work study, where you're helping to keep the place cleaned and organized, and you come for half price. So if anyone's interested in coming, I wanted to leave my number if I could.
Sure.
It's 631-504-6198. Again, 631-504-6198. I'm interviewing everyone. It's shaping up to be just a real fun, upbeat group, all ages. It's going to be fun, Gary. We're going to have a great time.
Okay, thank you, Luann. Now let's say hello to Utrice. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. It's a school days in Detroit. That's our program today.
Excellent. Utrice, lead right now.
Smiling faces, going places, it's a wonder, it's so clear. By a fountain, climbing mountains as we hold each other near. Sipping wine, we try to find that special magic from above as we share our